today on The Dark Side Of. Here's a headline I hope I never have to say again. Four men gang raped, killed, and ate a protected monitor lizard. True story. Paulding County parents arrested after four-week-old dies from alcohol poisoning. And acquitted after deaths of 14 patients, an Ohio doctor tells people he's not a killer. Those stories and more today on The Dark Side Of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side Of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. New ones every single Monday, Tuesday, and Friday here on the feed. And we also got the True Crime Today little featurettes that we sprinkle throughout the week with just crazy shit that happens. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode. What's going on?
Oh, there is no end to the crazy shit, is there?
No. And when you sent me via Facebook earlier in the week, four men gang raped, killed, and ate a protected monitor lizard, I was like, this has got to be not real. Like, of all the crazy shit headlines, like, nope, it's fucking real.
Oh, it's 100% real. It's, you know, we've covered some horrific stories on this podcast. Mm-hmm. To me, this one, you know, it's about a reptile, and we've talked about horrible things with humans, but to me, this is like a layer cake. You peel one layer off and eat it, and another big one comes at you, or an onion. It just keeps coming. It's just, I don't understand how humanity can be this awful.
I know.
I can't.
I just try and laugh about the insanity of this for the hour a week that we do the show. And when I have to like put the stories together, other than that, I really try to stay in a positive zone, but oh my God, I don't even know. Like I couldn't make these headlines up. It's almost like Mad Libs at this point. I mean, this is Cards Against Humanity level shit now that's going on where, oh my God, you put these words together. That's horrible. That could never happen. No, it fucking happened.
It did happen. And I don't know. When I was in Cancun probably 3-4 years ago on vacation, and I'm pretty sure it's the same kind of type of lizard, even though these were in India. Uh-huh. I think these lizards were all over the place in Mexico, or at least something similar to them. And we went to the ruins at Tulum, and I had a banana with me that I took from the buffet at the resort. Mm-hmm. And I was like feeding it banana, and it was just the sweetest thing. And it's not like we bonded, but it was like, here, sweet little lizard. And it would like just take pieces of banana and stare at me like, give me another. And it seemed really,
was the lizard sitting there going, you want to go back behind the Mayan ruins and have some fun?
Oh my God. No, it was just, you know, and I've got, when the story popped up, I went and looked back at the video I took of me actually feeding the banana. It was adorable. Mm-hmm. I just, what is wrong with people? And here's the even more depraved part. Not only did they gang rape it, but they ate it. They like barbecued it and ate it afterwards.
What was the thought process? I mean, we're going to eat this, but let's rape it first. Because why not? You know, if you're going to, you got the right, why not? Because that happens in America a lot when people are deer hunting. They get the deer, and then, of course, all the hunters go and gang rape the buck. And then they bring it back and they make venison out of it. And no one knows. That's part of the secrets of the hunting out there.
See, even you being that disgusting, that is not what happens. That is some Jeffrey Dahmer level shit. That, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Mark my words, by the end of the year, we're going to have a story about a group of hunters gang raping a deer.
I hope not. I don't understand what gets into people. I don't get it. I don't.
Let's Google that. Let's Google gang.
No, the shit that I've had pop up on my like ads and stuff because of this show. Seriously.
News. It's
just so disturbing.
No, I'm not seeing any headlines specifically involving that. Mm-mm.
No, and
but the lizard does come up. Lizard comes up. You type in gang rape deer. This story comes up about the lizard.
Yeah, it does, because I think it's one of the only ones. And, you know, who knows how, you know, maybe other things like this have happened, but they were caught on camera because this was, wasn't it at like a sanctuary or something?
Yeah, that's even the more shocking part is this wasn't, I mean, it's shocking no matter what, but I guess in my mind, I was like picturing these are, you know, some not very bright individuals. They're maybe not civilized and they're out in the wild and, you know, almost caveman-like or something. And they did this and somebody caught him. No, it's in a fucking sanctuary. The story goes, and it's from Vice, forest officials in India are investigating four men who gang raped, killed, cooked, and ate a monitor lizard in one of India's most protected forest reserves. It was the only monitor lizard in the park. The incident took place on March 29 at the Sharity Tiger Reserve in the western Indian state of Maharashtra. The forest camera traps meant for tracking tigers caught the accused men trespassing the reserves in the Chandeli National Park. Forest officials arrested the men between April 1st and 5th and found photos and video. They fucking videoed it on their phones of them gang raping a monitor lizard. Killing it. So are you taking that to like show friends? Is that like you're trying to like start a TikTok page of lizard rape or what?
I don't know where you go with that. I don't.
The question is what type of music
in bed and watch it, you know?
When you put the TikTok up and you can select your music, what do you pick for the gang rape lizard scene?
Oh God,
that's
Tony.
My question. I don't see nothing wrong with a lizard bump and grind.
Oh my God. But that's the thing. I don't think that way. And neither do you. And most people don't think that way. So I can't even,
I can only just find humor.
as you're reading this story, I literally have my hands around my neck. Like I'm just squeezing my, I can't believe this. I mean, lizards are very intelligent. They're, you can actually like tame them and they become used to humans. And like the one that I was feeding in Mexico, I'm sure because it was a, I'm like all screwed up here, but because it was at a tourist attraction, this lizard was used to people. So that's why, I mean, he came right up to me like, hey, what you got?
Yeah. Fairly domesticated. Yeah. Knows, gets it. And unless is this part of the where there's the conspiracies where people like believe there's like lizard people? Were they trying to create more lizard people?
Oh, see, I hadn't thought of that.
But no, they ate it, so that would make that impossible. Ugh. I have never seen a crime like this before, Division Forest Officer Vashi Malley told Vice World News. The men are in their 20s and 30s, and they appear to have done it for fun. There was no religious or black magic agenda. The men were identified as Sandeep Pawar, Manglish. I can't pronounce all their names.
Yeah.
They're charged under India's Wildlife Protection Act of 1972. So prior to 72, not a crime. Local court granted them bail last week. They're like, we were born in the wrong era. Before 72, we could have raped lizards left and right. It would have been great. India's monitor lizards are endangered and are protected species by law. Violators may be punished with a 7-year jail term. A report by wildlife advocacy groups recorded 82 cases. Oh, my God. Okay. 82 cases of sexual abuse against animals in India between 2010 and 2020. This was out of a total of 500,000 cases of animal-related crimes that include torture and killings. So 82 cases of sexual abuse against animals. So it doesn't just mean lizards. So
okay. We've got a problem then.
There seems to be I'd be curious what sexual abuse cases of animals are in the United States, quite honestly.
I would rather not think about it. We've talked about it before.
Can you Google that while I continue reading and find out what the stats are?
I am not doing that again.
Most recent cases of sexual abuse against animals include a man raping and killing a pregnant goat in southern India. and a 60-year-old man raping a female stray dog last year. While the suspects are out on bail, Malley said the photos and videos of the incident have been sent to a forensic lab to build evidence for the case. Forest officials are also seeking legal advice on charging the accused under a law that criminalizes unnatural sex between human and animals. Not only is this cruel, but there is a risk of zoonotic diseases from this kind of case. There are concerns of men carrying STDs and other infections from their act, Malley says. The Tiger Reserve, which is spread across 1,166 square kilometers, is governed by the Indian government and encompasses three national parks. The Chandoni National Park is spread across over 300 square kilometers and a wildlife ranging from tigers to panthers to reptiles such as monitor lizards and geckos. Geckos are pretty. I don't know how you could do that with a gecko. Geckos are small, aren't they? I'm thinking
they're
like
very small. So yeah, that okay. says a lot about the guy. Well, let's talk about where we are with humanity for what it's 2022 now. When we're recording this, we've been in a pandemic, and that pandemic. How did it start? It was a zoonotic disease, probably something that jumped from an animal to a human. And then you've got these ding-dongs, these motherfucking horrible human beings having sex with an animal. And then God knows where they go in their community and have sex with a human. That's how shit leaps from animals to humans.
Yeah.
If it's not airborne.
It's sex.
Exactly. It's what the fuck is wrong with you? I mean, you can get diseases from eating uncooked meat and things like that. But if you, I mean, STDs, this is something that they could be creating the next pandemic by this horrific activity that they're doing. These are some sick fucking human beings. And thank God I'm not a judge because these people, they should just be killed on the spot.
I agree.
Fuck putting them in jail. They are a risk to humanity.
Yeah.
Mentally, physically, get rid of them. Be done.
I 100% agree. Finally, someone else is saying that on this show. Because I'm always the one calling for the execution of people where I'm like, what's the point? Why are we why?
Why? First of all, I don't think you can be rehabilitated because you are so far down the hole. There's just no pulling you back up. There's none. Yep,
I agree. 100%. I mean, what would that be like? Can you imagine like the Lifetime special where it's like, at one time, he was having sex with lizards. Then he turned out to be the family man of the year with three children and a lovely wife, guest starring Candace Cameron Bure on a Lifetime original. I fucked a lizard, then I married DJ Tanner.
Oh my God.
A Lifetime original this holiday season. Yeah, with a special appearance by Aunt Becky. And Aunt Becky catches them as she makes her miraculous return to television.
Yeah. And, you know, she rose to an island where she finds them.
Yeah. She's out there on an island trying to find herself after the scandal, the cheating scandal, discovers people fucking lizards and then tries to rehabilitate things. You're fucking lizards. But you know what? You'd be great for my niece. I think I can rehabilitate you. Let's take you back to San Francisco. So this could actually be more than just like Lifetime. It could be a Full House movie event.
You are a sick creature. But yeah, I don't think they serve any purpose on planet Earth anymore. I think you've proven that it's over. Just be done.
I don't understand. Like, well, these people don't have humanity. So I don't understand why we have to have humanity, especially when it's so clear. I mean, I would have more humanity if it's just an allegation. That's one thing. Then you can't really prove it. Then you got to kind of take that. Right. Well, but if they're on camera fucking a lizard and then eating it and they broke into the reserve to do this for fun, you're done.
Yeah. It's not like they were marooned somewhere and here was a lizard and they just needed to eat it. I can get behind that. But the whole fucking the lizard, raping the lizard, ejaculating into the lizard and then they're eating their own ejaculate too. So, I mean, it's like I said,
special sauce.
Yeah. There are so many disgusting, horrific layers to this story that it's just, Oh, my God.
India's monitor lizard population is steadily declining because of poaching. Eating monitor lizard meat is common across South Asia, Southeast Asia, and Australia, and Africa. Reports of reptiles being hunted for their meat are common in India, even though it's illegal. In 2016, an Indian forest official was arrested for serving monitor lizard meat at a party. Monitor lizards are also hunted to make traditional medicine. Molly said that surveying over 1,000 square kilometers of reserve areas is challenging for forest guides. Well, sure. But there are plans for deploying a new special protection force. We'll put a team of 100 people who will guard the premises more efficiently. Here's what you really want to do, because this is what we do in America to make people not do shit, and it works so well. Put signs up with little stick people doing things, and like a big X through it, or like the circle in the line. So
yeah,
have
like
a little
no raping of lizards, please.
A guy with a lizard, you know, in that sort of a position, and that, and just put it everywhere. That'll make them
stop him.
Yeah, yep.
You know what would stop him? And I death. With all the gun violence in our country, I hate to even say this, but have a sniper sitting in a tree, and when one of these fuckers comes in to do this, just take him out. Just be done.
I agree.
This story has just, I am beside myself. I'm just cringing. I'm so disgusted. I just don't understand how a human being can do this to another living creature for fun.
Well, speaking of wonderful human beings, Paulding County parents arrested after 4-week-old dies from alcohol poisoning, sheriff says. Yes. A mother and father, this is in Atlanta area, have been arrested in connection to the death of a 4-week-old infant. 4 weeks! Deputies say doctors told them the child had a quantity of alcohol in its system that was over 4 times the legal limit for an adult. What the fuck are you doing? The Paulding County Sheriff's Office says Sydney Moran Dunn and Marquis Simon Colvin are currently being held in the county's jail facing a slew of charges. On April 13th, sheriff deputies said they were contacted by authorities at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta regarding a 4-week-old infant who was brought to the hospital by its parents and was unresponsive. The officials there noted the circumstances around the child's death didn't make sense and needed to be looked at by law enforcement. 11 Alive, that's the name of the TV station, spoke with Public Information Officer Sergeant Ashley Henson about the case. The authorities are thankfully that they noticed that something wasn't right with what the family was saying occurred in connection with the way the child actually was looking and feeling, he said. On the scene, detectives spoke with the parents. They said Dunn originally told them that the child must have gotten alcohol poisoning from her while she was breastfeeding. The mother noted she had drank a large amount of alcohol the day prior. However, detectives then said that she told the father to put alcohol in the baby's bottle. Warren say the child went into cardiac arrest due to alcohol intake with an alcohol level 4 times of what an adult could be charged with for a DUI. Even for an adult, that's a significant amount. But for a 4-week-old child, good grief, he added. After serving a search warrant where the parents lived on Hillcrest Drive in Hiram, they located evidence of the crime as well as a firearm. Sheriff's deputies noted the child's father was a convicted felon and was not allowed to be near or possess a firearm. So detectives actually been out there multiple times. So, you know, looking through the house and making sure they got everything they need for this case. On April 14th, officials at the hospital said that the child had passed away. A neighbor who did not want to be identified reacted to the whole situation. A baby? I'll be the neighbor. A baby? Oh, my God. Feeding a baby alcohol? That's wild. That's wild. That's sick. This is a very quiet neighborhood. There's nothing going on here. Nothing, she said. I'm thinking that's probably how it went. The neighbor says the couple and the baby lived in the basement of the home while another couple and 2 other children lived in the main floor. She said they all kept to themselves. I did not see them. I did not know them, she added. Several of the neighbors said the same thing. Sergeant Henson says the couple could face more charges than the ones listed below pending the autopsy report and the district's decision. Knowing that they're in custody is comforting, but it's just a sad, tragic situation. Arrest records from the Georgia Department of Corrections also show Colvin is a convicted felon charged with aggravated assault. He was on parole from that charge since July of 21 with the end date of November 25. They look like lovely human beings. And how the fuck do you, why the fuck, this is not like, let's put a little bit of whiskey on their gums while they're teething shit. This is, we're filling the bottle with Everclear shit.
I don't know what to say to that. Again, this is a human being who should not have kids, who doesn't deserve to have kids, who doesn't know how to have kids. I mean, this is horrible.
It's another one that they can go to the execution chamber and I would have no issue. It's like, yeah, no, I'm
sorry.
They
can hang out with the lizard people.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're charged with malice murder, which I just looked it up. It's a criminal offense in the U.S. state of Georgia committed when a homicide is done with express or implied malice. These people should never see the light of day again.
You're exactly right. But the question is, will they or won't they? You know,
that is a very good question. And that's something that we've talked about a lot. You know, the judicial system in our country. Certain people get locked up for things and others do not. And it's really disturbing. And this is a slam dunk.
Well, there's so many cases where you can look at the things and their actions and you go, likelihood of this person offending again, based on what their history is, pretty high.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, let's just let them go and wait for them to destroy someone else's life. And that's how we work. We're like, wait till they destroy somebody else's life. Got all these people here that are very likely to do it. And you have like a 98% batting rate on that of like, yep, they're going to destroy somebody's life. Just wait.
Was already out on parole for something else, right? Yep. Isn't that what you read?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this is the behavior that this person knows. This is the lifestyle that they are familiar with and comfortable with. This is what they do.
It's baffling. Just like the man that was charged with 100 counts of child sexual abuse, arrested in New York City for reportedly fighting officers. It was fighting officers that got him stopped. not the 100 counts of sexual abuse.
No. And how old is this dude?
22.
Oh, my God.
This is from True Crime Daily. A 22-year-old man was wanted in Pennsylvania for allegedly raping two young girls, arrested in Manhattan after reportedly fighting with two NYPD officers. The New York Police Department officials announced early in the morning of Wednesday, April 20th, that Isaiah Metz, who also goes by Declan McBride, was taken into custody in charge of assaulting two police officers, according to the NYPD. According to WPIX TV, Metz also faces charges of resisting arrest, obstructing governmental administration, and assault. NBC Philadelphia reports two officers found Metz at a homeless shelter and tried to arrest him. In the process, however, Metz allegedly punched both officers and bit one in the arm before fleeing. People are going back to like cavemen thinking at this point. Bites, rape lizards. Like, both officers were released following treatment at local hospitals. WPIX reports Metz was wanted in Pennsylvania on child pornography charges. Newberry Township police arrested Metz on March 30th on a slew of charges, including 50 counts of sexual abuse of children, 50 counts of sexual abuse of children, child porn, 3 counts of rape of a child under the age of 13, 2 counts of indecent assault, and more. But wait, there's more. WHTM-TV reports Metz is accused of sexually assaulting a 4-year-old twin, or sexually assaulting 4-year-old twin girls.
Oh, Jesus.
So you got all these counts. How the fuck do you, I don't know, how do you lose a guy like this when you have these charges against him and he's out there? God.
Again, why was he let out? Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why? You know, and we've talked about being homeless, mm-hmm. you know, before. And if he was at a homeless shelter, are we dealing, obviously we are dealing with some mental illness here, but again, this person is a threat to our society. Mm-hmm. We're trying to keep things civilized in this world. That's why we have laws. That's why we have people enforcing laws. This is somebody who, on, you know, 50 counts has not been able to be trusted. Oh, mm-hmm. 100 counts. I'm sorry. He can't be trusted around other human beings. Why was he out?
I have a great idea for like a Netflix series or something.
Let's hear it.
Cold Case Creator. And it's about a rogue police officer who solves the crimes, but never like tells anybody that he knows who did it or what they did. And they go out and they just eliminate these people off the face of the earth. And then they're like, yep, no evidence. Couldn't find him. Nothing. And it just, and then remains a cold case forever because the person never, the people who are the violators are never found because they're dead. Because he killed them and he knows he killed them. And every week it's a new case that he creates. So it's kind of like Dexter in a way or 6 Feet Under. But
isn't Queen Latifah doing something like that right now on TV?
I have no idea.
I'm going to look it up. I feel like there is. I feel like there's a show out there that's just like that.
Well, that's a great idea. Maybe there's
The Equalizer.
Is that what she does?
Hang on. Let me look it up.
Okay.
Let's see. What is she? She is a woman with a mysterious background, uses her extensive skills to help those with nowhere else to turn. Well, maybe she's not doing what you're talking about.
I could see, like, you could also like spin it where like it's a private investigator that does it. And so it's almost like a hitman, but it's a vigilante hitman for good.
Yeah. She's an anonymous guardian angel and defender of the downtrodden. So you're close. Okay, so it's very similar, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
But I like your idea. I think you should contact Netflix. I think you're onto something.
I got an even better one. The Santa.
Go for it.
And it's a Santa Claus that sits in the mall and the kids tell him what they want. And then the kids that come up and say really disturbing shit about their parents, he goes and like removes the parents from the earth.
Oh, yeah, but then what if the kid is nuts? What if the kid is just making things up and the parents are just fine?
Well, the Santa does a little bit of research by like putting periscopes down chimneys and stuff and stakes it out for quite a while with reindeer and shit. And then he makes sure that the story is accurate. And then once he makes sure it's accurate, then he gets rid of the parents and then he miraculously gets the children to a warm, loving home. They don't just go into the system in this series. I mean, in reality, they would just go into the system. But in this series, he's already lined up a loving family that can't have children or some sort of story that will be heartwarming that involves Candace Cameron Bruhl and possibly a man who fucked a lizard as the new adoptive parent. But he's rehabilitated. So it turns into a loving family.
It's like a Robin Hood story with a weird twist.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what it is. An acquitted after deaths of 14 patients in Ohio doctor, William Hussle tells People, I'm not a killer. This story from People. I don't know much about this one, so I'm kind of interested. A jury deliberated his fate. Dr. William Hussle sat in the living room of his attorney's Columbus, Ohio Airbnb, unsure of whether he would soon become convicted of murder or a free man. Hussle, 46, has been accused of killing at least 14 of his patients in Ohio's Mount Carmel Hospital with overdoses of fentanyl. In some cases, doses were up to 10 times higher than what some experts said was the typical palliative amount. While the prosecution was unable to identify a motive in the deaths, they maintained that his actions fell under the definition of murder. I think just anyone having fentanyl or like fentanyl as a product is the definition of murder. Not anyone, even just the fact that it exists. It's like, that'll kill you. Hussle was represented by attorney Jose Biaz, who previously defended high-profile defendants like Casey Anthony and Aaron Hernandez. In court, Baez steadfastly maintained that Hussle was administering the drug simply to alleviate the patient's pain. On Wednesday morning, the jury agreed with Baez and acquitted Hussle of all charges. The jury, after review of all evidence, was not convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that William Hussle was guilty of any charges submitted to them, the Franklin County District Attorney's Office said in a statement to People, we accept the jury's verdict. Before the verdict, Hussle sat down with People to discuss the case and maintained his innocence. I'm not a killer, he says. I'm not guilty of what they say I did. Hussle said he had been a doctor for 5 years, and when he got a worrying call from an administrator at Mount Carmel West Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. It was the day before Thanksgiving 2018, he says. I got an email from the vice president of medical affairs, and he says, there's been some concerns about your dosing habits. Please call me. My heart dropped. And my stomach kind of turned a little bit. I remember the first thing I thought of is, am I going to lose my job? Soon, Hussle learned that he was the subject of an ongoing criminal investigation and was suspected of being one of the most prolific serial killers in Ohio history. While he was originally charged with killing 25 patients, the prosecution later decided to pursue only 14 of those. Hussle says he was in disbelief when he was charged. I couldn't believe it because I knew what was the truth. We were there helping people and saving people. And I was like, how could they twist this around and charge me with murder? Hustle estimates he saw about 25,000 patients during the years he worked at Mount Carmel West and insists that nothing about the 14 patients was different than anyone else. I cared for my patients, he said. I felt that the doses were appropriate for the patients. We were providing comfort and care. At Mount Carmel, they didn't have a policy or protocol for dosage. He continues, it's up to the physician at his discretion to manage the symptoms at end of life. Despite the murder trial, Hustle steadfastly maintains he did nothing wrong. I feel like my care was the right care for the patients at the time, he says. Again, remember, anytime you come to the ICU, you're very sick, critically ill. This is the sickest of the sickest. So it's my burden as a physician and number one, approach the family and describe how sick they really are. That's number one. It's very important for the physician to give an accurate and honest update of the clinical situation so the family is well informed of how sick the patient really is, he says. I've had nurses and chaplains with me during these discussions, and they backed up how sick these patients really were and what the family decisions were at the time. Now exonerated on murder charges, Hustle still faces civil suits from many patients' families. He and his wife, Mariah, a former nurse at Mount Carmel, have been raising their two children in their home of Mariah's parents. The last 3.5 years, we've had this weight that's been on our chest, he says, and finally it's going to come off. We're going to try to just kind of calm our nervous system down for a little bit, heal, and try to just pick up the pieces, and then try to get an apartment of our own again. As for the families of the people he was acquitted of killing, Hustle says that he still thinks about them frequently. I feel grief for these families, he says. They've been through a difficult situation. I understand that they're suffering, and I do feel for them. So I kind of understand this one more in terms of, because with medical, it is in our U.S., it's all about pain management and not so much about, you know, necessarily treating. It's a lot of it is pain management in cases like this. And we have these drugs out there that are fucking crazy and insanely, effective at managing pain, but they can also kill you very quickly because they're so good at it. And if done incorrectly, or you're just, 14 out of 25,000 have a bad reaction or something and they're already near death. Yeah. I could see very likely how this could happen without malice.
Do you know what today is?
The 21st. What?
This is the anniversary of Prince and his fentanyl overdose.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think it was at the exact moment that we're recording that it was released that he had died. Wow. Fentanyl is a very strong drug and some people react poorly to it.
Mm-hmm.
There are guidelines for dosing medications. Every institution has their own sort of guidelines. I'm surprised that this one didn't. But there are standards, there are calculations. A decimal point could make a difference between life and death. That's mm-hmm. why math is so important in medicine.
Yeah.
And if a person is very sick, their body can metabolize medications so differently than the average standard healthy person that these guidelines are put under. So there are different guidelines and standards that you have to take into account. I realize this isn't the same, but when in veterinary medicine that I work in, if you are going to sedate an animal before you put them to sleep, sometimes a sedative can kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on how sick they are. And usually what you do is you do a series of two injections. The first one is a sedative, and then you'll do the second injection that stops their heart. And sometimes the sedative, that's enough. It just does it because that's how sick the animal is. So he's making a really valid point that if these people are that ill, the fentanyl might've just pushed them over the edge and that was it.
Yeah. And if you're seeing that many people and the way that this is used, I mean, we're talking about a drug that's 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine. My question is, why do we even have a drug that's 100 times stronger than morphine?
It's a really good question.
Why do we need something that strong? I mean, why? What is the practical use for that? Well, I don't understand how the human body could even, take that in. I mean, I guess you're doing it in a much smaller dosage then, but why do we even have this?
Yeah. My cat Spike had some ear surgery that he actually had a fentanyl patch on. And the thing was like the size of my pinky nail, a tiny little thing. And it was, I think it was like 0.12 micrograms of fentanyl.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it is such a potent drug, and they use it on at least in my experience, animals that have had limbs amputated and things like that. It is so potent and so powerful that you've got to know what the fuck you're doing when you're using it.
Well, not saying
that this doctor didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
But they should have had some sort of guideline.
Sure.
In that hospital.
And doesn't it open it up to that much more? I mean, just human error when you're dealing with something that much more potent.
Yeah.
You know,
what if he had some rogue instructor in his school?
Yeah.
That maybe had used some different sort of teaching methods, and he was running on the higher side of the dosing guidelines, whereas most people were in the middle. And I don't know this for sure, but maybe he was always dosing a little bit higher and most people could handle it. But then he came across these patients and they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Who knows? And that's why you have to have these really strict guidelines for dosing. And so I just, this guy is, his career is ruined. His life is ruined. You know, it takes a lot to become a doctor.
Yeah.
And it's over for him. And there was a nurse that was charged with a fatal drug error. She was charged with negligent homicide, basically murder as well. So what's going to happen is we're going to get, you know, people not wanting to go into medicine because suddenly they can be charged with murder for making a mistake. And you don't ever want to make a mistake, but my God, it happens.
Yeah. I mean, you don't, because we have these insane drugs that didn't exist a handful of years ago and humans are humans. It doesn't mean that they're all murderers. If they're just, they're doing what they think is correct. They're not trying to kill anyone. They think they're using the drug correctly. I get the families are angry. And when you're in that sort of situation, you want fucking vengeance. You want this and that. But the thing is, I feel like in cases like this, we're going after the wrong people. I mean, look at the manufacturers of the drugs. The fucked up thing with a lot of these drugs is the companies who manufacture them also then create the antidote for them as well.
Yeah, they do.
So it's like, oh yeah, get all hooked on this shit. And guess what? Then you can go on this shit over here and this will help get you off that or that. And
we're going to make money off of you on either side of the fence.
And we're all completely cool with it because nobody fucking understands it or looks into it. And it's insane. And then you got people's lives like this that are ruined. And of course the people who had their families die, their lives are ruined too. But again, these are human beings and not everyone is a serial killer. I don't know. It's insane. I do not feel like this man was trying to kill anyone. You know, maybe not the wisest choices on dosage, but again, try and understand, you know, the fact that he's still sitting here saying I would have probably done the same thing because that's what, you know, that's what I was trained and how I was trained to practice. Not intending to kill people, but people do die. And we see a lot of people dying from fentanyl overdoses now. And I can guarantee most of those doctors were not trying to kill people other than the pharmacies and the pharmacists that give some of that shit out in like pill mills type style. I'm not talking like your neighborhood Walgreens pharmacy or whatever. I'm talking like the pill mills that people drive to the backwoods and go load up on. You know, that sort of shit is fucked up.
Well, and the street fentanyl that's out there could kill an elephant.
Yeah.
That's how potent it is. And that's what they talked about with Prince, is that the dose that he got could have killed like four elephants. And he was just a tiny little guy. Yeah. So the drug is extremely potent. And yes, these people were terminally ill and they were going to pass at some point. It's not like he was thinking, well, I'm going to put them out of his misery. That would be murder.
Yeah.
By our United States standards, we are not allowed to euthanize people.
No.
That would be murder. Absolutely. Management. But if he was trying to just calm their pain and ease their pain through a dose that he thought was therapeutic, I don't think he did anything wrong.
Which is what how it's operated. It's pain management. And that's their main thing. No, yep. it's fucked up. I mean, and then that's the fucked up thing. And then you get into the street fentanyl and things like that. Because people get hooked on some of this shit when they're in the care of doctors because of pain. And they get out and they can't get off it. I've seen many people's lives ruined. A good friend of mine that I worked with in radio at another place, her daughter had some sort of injury from something. And it wasn't fentanyl. What's the other one? Methamphetamine. And was taking prescribed or not street meth. What's the legal version of it? That people get hooked on and then they go to meth. It was one of them. I can't remember what it was, but it was something that she got hooked on for pain management. And it was like, you know, keep taking this. She was a teenager, and you know, was doing what she was told. And then they took her off it. And then the pain that she was dealing with afterwards was so horrific. And she's young, and you're not the brightest when you're young. All of us are not. And
you think you're invincible.
And you think you're invincible, and you're in that world of time where you may be experimenting with things to begin with, and you have this pain. She gets hooked up with the wrong people, gets way hard into drugs for pain. Pain management, and now she's off of it. She's clean, but she has no short-term memory at all. And
are you serious?
And it's so sad. Beautiful girl. She's like 30. Is always going to have to be under the care of someone. You look at her, you would think, oh my gosh, look at this gorgeous. She looks like a smart girl. She was a very smart girl. And it's fried.
Like 50 first dates.
Yeah. I mean, really, it could be. And it's so sad. So much potential. Really great family, great parents, all that. But it all comes to, but it started with prescription fucking drugs and the pain management. And not finding ways of kind of getting people to understand there is going to be pain with some shit, and you have to somehow lower this. We can't just constantly mediate this where you feel great. There's going to be pain at some, and we have to find more ways of dealing with this and getting people off in a controlled setting rather than just, well, your prescription's up. We're not going to give any more because you could get addicted. Guess what? They already are. And now you're just saying good fucking luck. That's the fucked up part.
We don't handle pain very well in this country. We throw drugs at it and we don't really give people a way to cope with the pain.
No.
You know, things like yoga and meditation, a lot of people think that's weird, but that can help you to learn to cope with pain.
Sure.
Instead of just popping a pill. You know, people need to, there's ways you can breathe that can help you get through pain. And it's just easier to crack open a pill bottle and take it.
Yeah.
That's just how we are in this country. Just give me something right now. I don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
Do something. Give me something that will just fix it right now.
Yeah. And that seems to be the biggest problem. And that's how things get so crazy and out of whack as they do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There you go. Another fine story of the week. Another
uplifting story.
Another to make you pick you up and make you feel good with a fresher mix of lizard fucking and doctors overdosing. That's what we do here on The Dark Side Of. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.